Hello, Robert.
Hey Lou, did we have an incredible busy weekend?
So much fun.
It was filled with so much, let's call it performance art this weekend.
Loaded. Like a
Yes.
delicious baked potato.
And it was really a mashup of the entire community. So we started our weekend with the Ballet X Young Patrons relaunch. It was at the Bach Building. I don't know how we did it, but we had the parking gods on our side. We did a
15
little,
minutes in.
well, yes. But then they always come our way. They're like, oh, we're about to give up. Nope, we're staying. And did you even see in the comments? Some people were like, we were on our
Yes.
way. We couldn't find
We
a
were
parking spot.
circling.
Yeah, we went home.
Yeah.
We were here for it.
Okay.
And it was an amazing time, and we got to see some amazing people. Shout out Eli, shout out Killian, shout out all of our new friends, shout out to me joining as a young patron. You're welcome.
Out you, Robert. Highlights included seeing Marquise of the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society and Alexa of Pi Gallery. They were both there. There were also moments in the performance where the women caught each other's eyes, and it was just so clear that they were having a ball, and dare I say, they like each other? Offline, if they're listening, they're like, duh. There were moments where Ballet X met the needs of the audience. For example, I caught Keelan grabbing seats for a standing elderly couple. That was
Super
sweet.
cute.
And you joined the young patron circle.
It was super simple to sign up. I joined a program for like $10 a month, and I'm able to get the discounted tickets. I'm able to join in their membership programming throughout the year. And I think it's going to be an amazing community to navigate within this year.
Tell us the age threshold for those too old to join. Robert's a pro on this, as he so eloquently informed me Friday night.
Caps out at 40.
The tickets are easy
Yes.
enough, accessible enough to fit into most budgets.
Definitely.
Moving on to Saturday, Philadelphia Ballet, but back up because earlier in the week, Sterling Baca posted an Instagram. The first slide was himself and Sydney rehearsing with, like, kind of a line of spectators behind them. And you see him kind of roll his ankle. The reaction shot from the spectating dancers is how you know it was serious. And
Oh, yeah.
he was out of commission for Carmen Bolero, I'm assuming next week with Evening of Horror.
Yeah.
Sending best wishes for Sterling's recovery.
100%. Yes.
Conductor Beatrice presented an award to Martha, the pianist, for over 50 years of work
We're
at the
at
Saturday performance.
It was insane. 53 seasons she's up to now. How incredible.
Beyond.
Could you
And she's
imagine
not
doing this
just.
podcast for 53 years?
Huh. I read she doesn't just work with the Philadelphia Ballet, but she's worked with Opera Philadelphia amongst other performing arts companies. The Philadelphia Ballet just had Carmen only 2 years ago as the season opener. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was great.
Petit Garçon at the time fell asleep before the spicier scenes. And of course, I was pregnant with Bébé Doux at that point. He did not fall asleep before the spicier scenes this time.
Yeah.
Whoops. Now, I cannot speak to whether there was one of these on that most recent Carmen, but you know what I caught on the program this time around? There was an intimacy coordinator credited.
They're doing it right. They're making sure everybody is heard and that they feel comfortable, which is awesome.
We all know the story about Carmen. And also, sidebar, Robert, did you know that circa 2000 or 2001, Beyoncé was in an MTV television movie called Carmen, comma, the hip opera,
No,
where she played the
what?
title character. I think I only watched it as background noise, but I couldn't help but go back to beyond one of Beyoncé's earlier film roles during the
Yes.
performance. I've got a mini rapid fire for you. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Carmen, harpy opportunist or just emotionally damaged and therefore unavailable?
Harpy opportunist.
Don Jose, sucker in love or homicidal idiot?
Homicidal idiot.
Anything else about Carmen? What do you have?
I loved how the company in both pieces have had their time to really start to lean into it and hit every single beat. It was beautiful. It's you've really got to see that they had worked together on this in multiple variations to really make sure that it shined. And for, are we moving into Bolero a little bit?
Yeah, let's move into Bolero.
Perfect.
Hold on.
To have the live orchestra this time for Bolero was hands down an amazing experience.
Were
Last
they
time they
not
didn't have it.
live last time?
They did not have the orchestra last time. So this is the
Oh.
time that they had the orchestra. And so they had practiced and practiced and rehearsed. Every single beat was so well done together. It just builds and builds and builds.
I
It
know.
was great. And we got to have a great party afterwards too.
I postmated myself McDonald's on the way home, but actually back to Bolero. I had the kids with me.
Yeah.
Big kid was asleep by the time we got through Carmen. The little one, Bebe Du, 1.5 years old, mesmerized by what he
Wow.
was singing in Bolero, just sitting on his dad's lap, gazing ahead from row CC. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That might be your future dancer.
That might be. And I think what is one of the most remarkable things about this production that everybody in the company is in this production. And I
That,
know we've said it before,
yep.
but you are looking at the future of not just Philadelphia Ballet, but I think the future of ballet in the United States because, people move on and they go to different companies and maybe they come back. See, I always think about this while I'm watching these type of performances and productions. Who in the core do you just know is going to be promoted in a few years to soloist, principal dancer, etc. Any
Yeah.
predictions?
Mine is Juan. I think he stands out. I think he's a very powerful male dancer that has stood out in the last years of production as well, and is even coming through to this season as another shining star.
My money is on Isaac Hollis.
Ooh, nice.
He was one of the bandits in Act Two of Carmen. Also, sidebar, did you notice that the bandits did not join the rest of the cast for curtain call? I digress. And also, I so clearly remember him during Dance Card. just looking like he was having the best time ever throughout that. Last thing we have to touch on. Do we have to acknowledge the new PMA identification?
Always going to be the same to me.
On to the conversation.
On to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Dyerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have with us Arthur Haywood, muralist, artist. We are happy to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you both.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
Thank you.
Arthur, let us know a little bit about your journey. Mm-hmm. How did you come into muralism as well as art in itself?
Yeah, I really got more into art as a teenager. I took a graffiti class downtown with an artist named Pose 2 at the Hawthorne Community Center. And I actually got the opportunity because on the TV show Trading Spaces with my neighbor, the kids Trading Spaces,
he
had his room decorated into a skate park. And the artist Pose 2 decorated his room with graffiti. And one of the prizes for me, you know, as his friend, was to get the graffiti classes.
Oh, wow.
And so that was when I was about maybe 13, 14. And I took graffiti classes continuing even through high school with this artist named Pose 2. His real name is Daniel Hopkins.
Yeah.
And so that got me more into sharing my art publicly, you know, because graffiti is also a form of mural making and public art.
Right.
And so it was all legal. You know, I wasn't doing anything illegal. The most illegal thing I've done, you know, was like with a marker on the sidewalk, with, you know, a washable marker.
Right.
You're living on the edge.
Right. So my dad made sure once I got into graffiti, he's like, you know, you're not going to get arrested for this.
Right.
So, but it really excited me. The colors, you know, the character designs, it was just a way of expressing. And, you know, a way for me to let out emotions and also collaborate with other artists,
mm-hmm.
you know, to share just different ideas to lift people up. You know, art is, you know, another way of enlightening people in terms of reassuring them in terms of, you know, whether it's a mural or art about the environment or even it's just like a expressive.
Right.
Mural or expressive graffiti piece,
yeah,
you know, that can really brighten someone's day.
Definitely.
And for me, I feel like the first time I ever got like thanked for creating a piece of art was like through doing graffiti or murals. You know, any other time you submit something, people like, you know, it's in the invoice,
right?
It's pretty much like in the interaction, like, fairly transactional,
yes.
But I found through mural making and graffiti that there was an interaction with the public, and it was accessible, and that people could see themselves or art in their own space on a daily basis.
Right.
Because it's free, it's accessible in their own space or their own city. And that really inspired me in terms of how I wanted to share art. You know, I was also very into illustration, and a lot of that also became from the accessibility of it.
Yeah.
You know, that you can share art with so many people because it's in printed format. And, you know, me being an avid reader, you know, I was really into fantasy, Harry Potter growing up.
Nice.
And that really inspired me to be able to share my own art with other young readers in that same way, to inspire them to read the story just from the cover. It's like a preview to the book.
Yes.
And having parents who were very involved in literacy, you know, my father is State Senator Haywood, so he's organized reading camps. My mother's been president of the school board as well, too.
Wow.
So growing up, I would hear them having meetings, and that really showed me the importance of reading and literacy and how it can open up opportunities for young people. And, you know, especially me being an avid reader myself who loves stories, you know, it's fun.
Right.
And I really ended up just combining the two things that I love, you know, fantasy art and stories, to present it to young people who can connect with it, whether through illustrations, book covers, or mural making for a school, public schools, to encourage them to read. And so putting those two things I love together, I share it with an audience that can connect with it, and been very gratified that they've been able to grow from that experience as well.
Sort
of the places I've done the art at internationally. You know, originally, after I finished, you know, doing the graffiti classes in high school, I went to art college at the Maryland Institute College of Art for illustration. And from there, I was doing some more training after that to get more into the realistic painting of foundations. And so I went to a school here called Cambridge Street Studios in Philadelphia for about a year or 2 years. And that school shut down. And then I went to another school for traditional painting in New York called Grand Central Atelier that really was based in classical foundation and training.
Oh, wow.
And then so I got more of a step-by-step process. It's been rooted on tradition since like Da Vinci.
Right.
Michelangelo, in terms of how they develop portraits to make it look, the illusion of portraits appear real. Yeah. And so I really incorporated that into my art making, also combined with the idea, the messaging, you know, of human potential being limitless.
Wow.
So that's why I incorporated more of like the stars in the background or fantasy subject matter to show that, you know, we are limitless in our potential. And just another way to visualize it is that through imagination. Mm. And then from there, I was doing some murals in Philadelphia with the Mural Arts. I've been interning with them because originally from the graffiti class, I interned with an artist named Nose Go. Yes, Goodwin is his real name. So that was when I was about a teenager, I met him. And then while I was in college, I was helping out with some murals as well too with Mural Arts. Mm-hmm. And then once I finished studying at Grand Central Atelier, that was in 2018, I ended up being an assistant artist on a mural with artist Wale Oyejide. He did some art for Black Panther, I believe, for the movie, the costume designs. And so he did a mural for, I think, the 52nd Street Library, the Lucian Blackwell Library. Wow. We did work on that with other artists. And while I was developing my own portfolio, I was creating a book about the Library of Alexandria at the same time. So I was working on my own art and illustrations.
Oh, my gosh.
And ended up being able to have, a portfolio foundation mm-hmm. for them to be able to, to receive other mural opportunities as well, too, just based upon, not only assisting other artists from that experience, but also seeing what my vision was artistically in terms of my own art.
You're busy.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So, I have a question. How much coffee are you drinking?
Oh, I actually don't drink coffee. I actually used to work at a coffee shop.
Sorry, do go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Very fortunate to have support and the opportunities throughout mm-hmm. this whole process. So when I was doing the murals in Philadelphia and had my portfolio to enhance, as a platform to enhance opportunities and to find opportunities, I did a mural in Harrisburg for the Sprocket Mural Festival. And then from there, I did some other art for assisting artists like Amy Sherrill, for she did a mural at the Target here in Center City.
Yeah.
So I worked on that with two other artists, Kian Eugene and Emily White as well, too.
Wow.
And from all those experiences, I ended up having more to my resume to submit to artist residency applications.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate. I got a residency in Paris. It was called from the Harry Hale Woolley Scholarship. And there I was continuing the same theme of painting students at this high school inside of their favorite stories, whether Star Wars or Narnia or even Harry Potter.
That's cool.
And it was very much a coincidence is one of the project managers from Mural Arts connected me with her teacher that she studied with in high school when she grew up in France. So I was able to, have the connection with the teacher there and the school in Courbevoie. It's like this small suburb right outside of Paris where I did these murals. And from there, the residency was initially 9 months and I was learning French while I was there. And I got an opportunity afterwards to continue at that same youth center. There's a youth center right next to the high school I was working mm-hmm. with to do some more murals for them for like another 9 months. And then I fortunately got a residency in Tulsa, the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. It was amazing because it's fully funded residency for 2 years.
Wow.
Where they cover the cost of living, a studio, and they give artists a stipend, a monthly stipend as well, too. So I was really able to focus on creating a body of work, still focus on the same theme of showing students inside of their favorite stories, and I ended up decorating this entire high school dance studio, some other schools in Tulsa as well, too. And so when I came back to Philadelphia now, that was in January, I was able to get this opportunity with the Cobbs Creek Golf Course.
Yep.
And the same project manager connected me with the Cobbs Creek, who's the project manager. He connected me with the school in Paris.
Oh,
the same project manager connected me with this opportunity in Cobbs Creek to decorate their golf course.
World.
So it really is a very fortunate connections people I've been able to meet. And, also grow with, as people, but even professionally.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, my gosh. Your portfolio must be, I was going to say, it must be thick.
Yeah, I actually brought some pictures of it.
Okay.
I would love that.
through all that experience, I've been really able to develop my portfolio. Well, I did want to mention the project manager who connected me, you know, with the school in Paris was Nessanelle Portier, and she was the same project manager connected me with the Cops Creek. Opportunity when I came back and returned.
Oh my gosh.
So, your network.
One of my dad's friends always says, you know, the person with the biggest network wins. You know, they're all connected.
Yeah.
And they just have so much in common. It's just a matter of, you know, being able to see it. So I really believe, you know, a lot of our interactions are just, you know, reactions to our actions. And sometimes we just have to present, you know, our what we have to offer for people to decide if they want to interact with it.
How do you start that process with your subjects?
I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, please.
Normally the process is involved through doing a student survey at the school for what their favorite books are, in particular, whether it's popular titles or favorite genre of books. You know, when I was doing the residency in Tulsa, I shifted the theme more towards just genre in general, so I can make, you know, original artwork as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a survey amongst the students, and then once I get, you know, the most popular books or genres, I create some designs, you know, from those themes. Five different designs based on the most five popular books, and then the students voted on which ones were their favorites, which one they connected with the most. So the most popular three, you know, I was doing the residency in Paris and in these other schools that I've done murals at, they voted on their most popular, and that became the design, you know, the composition for the final painting. You know, from there, I'd go back to the school and take pictures of the students that are going to be inside of the painting. You know, normally the teacher has to decide for me.
Yeah.
Because one time I was doing one for elementary school, some students were crying because they couldn't be depicted. But there's an element of the project, too, where students can help paint on the borders of the murals, too. Yeah. So even if they're not depicted, they can still participate.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
So that's how the process unfolds. It's a way of engaging young people and the excitement of literacy and learning, because it's fun.
You know,
it's an escape. And so I saw some kids say they don't read. It's, you know, shocking. Because it's a movie in your mind.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have to think about it more deeply. It's social commentary. You're interpreting every thought that a character has. And it becomes, in a way, whether meditation, social commentary, there's so many important ideas. Like, imagine a world where you could not even reflect. You couldn't think.
Right. You're working on a mural that's being installed at the Cobbs Creek Golf Course Learning Lab, a project for the Tiger Woods Foundation. And we've read that this is the second learning lab for the foundation itself. Philadelphia was selected as a tribute to his mentor, Charlie Sifford. How much of the creative was left up to you, and what were your inspirations for that creative portion?
Definitely. So I love this process that we had. It was very collaborative in terms of some students that take classes at the Learning Lab were involved in terms of, you know, taking a survey, but it was more so we did a workshop.
Nice.
Where they did a photo collage of some of their favorite celebrities that they wanted to see in the mural. So I printed out a number of celebrities, you know, the people on the committee for Cobbs Creek had mentioned, and some other ones I thought of too that were from Philadelphia. And they organized collages based on who, like 5 or 10 people that they wanted to see in the final mural.
Nice.
And so that influenced the final 10 that we selected to be painted. And the theme for the mural that I presented was Stars of Philadelphia. Mm. You know, these people are from Philadelphia shining their light in their own way. So you see in the mural painting, they're all surrounded by like these star halos around them to show them we all shine our light in our own way, and to never dim our light for anyone was the message, you know, to share with these young people that take classes at the Cobbs Creek Learning Center. So the final 10 that we ended up selecting, you know, were Eve, Questlove, Patti LaBelle, Will Smith, Tina Fey. So we had a section of entertainers.
Oh, that's great.
And then we had a section of athletes. So Charlie Sifford, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, Dawn Staley, and Johnny McDermott, you know, another golfer, were the final 10 that they selected.
Wow.
So a lot of the committee was involved in selecting that final 10. Originally, they weren't trying to make me have paint like 20 people.
Right.
But, you know, given the time frame and budget, you know, I could only paint a limited number of people during the time. So 10 was a number that we selected.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's incredible. Yes. We know that you work primarily with a medium that can withstand the elements, right? Mm-hmm. Out inside in the murals.
Mm-hmm.
And this, we have a series of like sub questions for you.
So many questions about girls.
Yes, we absolutely love it. What kind of paint or coating do you use for the murals?
Yeah, so this is refreshing in the sense it's an interior mural. So mm-hmm. I could more or less just treat it like a regular painting.
Nice.
You know, I use oil paint for the portraits because it's easier to blend with oil paint that dries more slowly. The acrylic paint dries within about a minute. So it's harder to blend and get the smoother transitions with acrylic paint. But since it's an interior mural, I don't have to worry about weather conditions.
Right.
You know, it's inside of the restaurant. So I really just use oil paint for the portraits. I use acrylic paint for the backgrounds. It's a larger space and more flat areas and have to worry so much about the blending,
right.
You know, being smooth. And it's also, you know, save, you know, a lot of expenses as well, too, to use the acrylic paint for the background. And so I just use Gamvar. It's a varnish that they use in a lot of paintings in museums in terms of a protective coat for the parts that are painted in oil paint. And I use this exterior varnish called from Nova Color for the parts that are in acrylic. So
excellent.
I just combine those two together to get the final varnish, and it should be a protective coat. I mean, I'm sure if like somebody spilled like spaghetti on it,
right.
You can probably wipe most of it off with water. Right.
Yes.
You can probably wipe most of it off with water. They do have some varnishes like an inch or 2 inches deep.
Wow.
But they're just a lot more expensive. It's pretty much like you might as well get some glass at that point.
Exactly. And then what kind of coating do you use for exterior?
Yeah, so for the exterior work that I do, I normally use the Nova Color. They have either the exterior varnish, but there's also some other varnish that Nova Color also makes that's more sustainable.
Yeah.
I forget the actual title of it, but we use that on the Amy Sherrill mural because
okay.
It was exposed to a lot of elements outside,
yep.
And they could afford it.
Right. Yes. That always plays a part, though, right?
In terms of the budget.
And, you know, It's funny because we did have Meg Seligman on earlier this year.
Oh, wow.
And
I love her opinion.
Yes, she's absolutely incredible.
Seriously, still one of my favorites.
Yes, and it's crazy that, you know, the mural has to live on and the mural has to be like repainted
mm-hmm.
every couple of years mm-hmm. just to make sure that it stays and the elements don't just destroy
mm-hmm.
it. Do you find yourself being part of that kind of preservation
mm-hmm.
side of your murals
mm-hmm.
or do you paint your mural and then you step away?
Yeah, for me personally, I create the mural for the interaction,
mm-hmm.
the engagement with the community, and also to add to my portfolio. You know, I hope that it would be able to stay in a preserved state,
mm-hmm.
but at a certain point, you know, it's out of my control.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And most of what I'm sharing with people is a digital image at
yeah.
this point in terms of seeking other opportunities. Fortunately, I have not seen, you know, any like vandalism,
mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, it's out of my control. You know, put the varnish on it and you just kind of, you know, do the best with the rest of the time I have on the earth.
Right,
in all
right.
honesty,
yes.
There's, you know, priorities.
Correct.
In terms
and
of focus.
Because I think even some of Meg's work that I pass on the Schuylkill Expressway,
mm-hmm.
right, over time has been graffitied
mm-hmm.
on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a project going on mm-hmm. for one of those pieces that it seems like they have cleaned off the graffiti
mm-hmm.
and then are repainting the mural to bring it back to life.
Yeah, I'm really glad those efforts and initiatives are in place.
Right.
Because even like paintings you see in museums, like they wouldn't be there unless
mm-hmm.
the ones we see in museums are the ones that had the most preservation and conservation taking place on
right.
them. So it's just, mm-hmm. I'm glad that same level of engagement is being taken place with public art
so
murals
true.
As well too, because in a lot of ways public art is more accessible than what we see in museums.
Yes,
you know, a lot of times museums are expensive, so
correct.
A lot of young people can't even get there. I mean, so many people
right.
work in mural arts, they've never been to a museum.
Right,
expensive, far away. So it really is important to preserve a lot of this public art.
Yeah, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I love
yeah.
it. If you could transition to any other medium
mm-hmm.
And achieve the same success that you currently have, what would it be?
Yeah, so this transition even to some of my other objectives and goals that I have is also collaborating
yeah.
with sculptors, architects, to
mm-hmm.
create what is going to be like a fantasy Sistine Chapel for like a school space
wow.
or a library. Where you feel like you'd be immersed in the
mm-hmm.
world of a story. The paintings that I was doing in Tulsa for this dance studio was more or less inspired by that theme in a more limited format, where I was, you know, decorating the walls with paintings of students inside of, you know, fantasy worlds to show them in a heroic light. And I'd like to expand that vision to a space where not only the walls are decorated, but also the floors, the ceilings, you know, are also painted, so you feel like you're within the world of a fantasy story. That's how it feels for me to read. You know, wow. I'm immersed, transported into that world in my mind.
Right.
Where I'm in that environment, I'm involved with the characters, and this is a way to, you know, engage, you know, young people in an instant into the world they can escape into.
Right.
And it's a way to do it visually. And, you know, also for young people, they could collaborate in terms of helping paint on some of the borders or some of the simpler designs. So, you know, a medium I like to transition into is collaboration more with architects, mm-hmm. sculptors, to more or less create this experience.
Is there certain music or any, like, background noise that you listen to when you're creating your art?
Yeah, so when I'm painting, you know, whether it's a portrait, you know, it's more intense. I have to focus more on the transitions. Mm-hmm. I listen to instrumentals like chill hop.
Nice.
You know, on my headphones. But if I'm painting like a background that's more general, or like clothing that's more general, normally I listen to audiobooks, you know, whether it's fantasy, romanticy, or sci-fi audiobooks.
Nice.
That's pretty much what I listen to transition me to another space, but also, you know, to learn, you know, to have stories to learn from. There's so much social commentary in most of fantasy, whether it's an oligarchy, you can really view a lot of these things objectively, or, you know, relationship dynamics. You can really view a lot of these dynamics objectively.
Right. Where can the audience find you online in real life?
Yeah, so I'm online. My website is arthurhaywood.com. It's Arthur like the aardvark.
Nice. We're going to link it in the show notes.
Perfect. Yep. A-R-T-H-U-R, Haywood, H-A-Y-W-O-O-D.com. And my Instagram handle is Arthur Haywood as well, too.
Excellent.
So any other links, you know, whether Facebook, I still have a Twitter, I guess it became X at this point.
Yes.
I don't really post on there anymore.
Right.
But if you want to view some archive work, that's, you can link to that from my website.
That's great. Archives.
Right.
Love that.
Rapid fire questions for you. What is your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
My favorite Philadelphia neighborhood, probably like the Art Museum District.
That's,
you know, there's
nice.
So many museums on the Parkway.
Yeah.
You know, the Rodin Museum, the Philadelphia Art Museum, the
Mudder Calder Gardens.
Right.
Just opened,
Mudder Museum. I don't think I'll go in there again because it was really graphic.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't even handle, like, the ring. But there's so many amazing things to be inspired by.
Oh, yeah.
And so staying inspired is so important.
Set the scene. Mm-hmm. We're going to assist you with a heist. Haywood's 3. Forget Ocean's 11, okay?
Okay.
What piece of art are we stealing?
Oh, what are we stealing?
What do you want for your collection?
I think, you know, a painting that I would really appreciate to look at, you know, like on a, you know, like on a daily basis, probably be The Birth of Venus, that's in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. You know, the painting is, you know, uplifting in terms of her and showing her, you know, as like a goddess, but other also like just the way it's painted, you know, technically he really made her look like she's a shines like a pearl in terms of the translucency of that paint application. And, you know, he's been one of the artists that I look at in terms of for a technical base for making things appeal realistic and how that can also transcend in terms of giving other emotions, you know, in terms of, you know, really painting her shining and glowing like a pearl, you know, like also gives a metaphorical interpretation as well, too.
What is your favorite art museum outside of Philadelphia?
Outside of Philadelphia, probably the Louvre in Paris. You know, it's incredible historical and painting treasure trove.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can never see it all in one day, but there's so many time periods and techniques of painting to explore within one space that for me, you know, the Louvre in and of itself, you know, the paintings, the building, it's just the whole space is a treasure chest of inspiration.
Oh, love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. If you could commission any artist in history to produce a portrait of you, who would it be?
You know, I really have been a very big fan of, you know, Rockwell in terms of the humanism he had in a lot of his work in terms of portraying people, no matter their backgrounds, origins, you know, in a very, you know, characteristic way.
Yeah.
And I really, I think I'd be honored, you know, to see like how he would paint, you know, me. He does a lot of, you know, sometimes exaggerating, sometimes more realistic.
Yeah.
But seeing what his take would be in terms of that spectrum.
Can you describe the Philadelphia art scene in one word?
Yeah, I think it's innovating.
Arthur, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time
today.
With you guys.
No, this
is
good. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the audience?
Oh, yeah, say thank you to you both for having me here, for the opportunity, as well as to the people at Muir Arts and Cobbs Creek who helped organize this project. I'm really fortunate and looking forward to sharing, you know, people at the students at the unveiling and people who attend, you know, how they can shine their own light in their own way.
Excellent.
You heard them, people.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
is absolutely incredible, and his process is amazing to be able to kind of pull in together, especially when he works with kids in schools, to be able to like pull mm-hmm. those kids into his work was so collaborative mm-hmm. that he really makes sure. And you know what, now that I'm even saying that, like, we're finding that a lot of muralists make sure that they collaborate with the community before they start to put paint on wall to begin with. Mm. And so that's, I think that's been a through line from the muralists that we have had on.
Hence the public in public art.
Yeah. Yeah. They make sure to give them a voice.
All okay. right, ladies and gents, we have some things for this weekend and a bunch of things for you to put in your calendar.
We're going to kick it off starting on Thursday, but all weekend, the Philadelphia Ballet's Evening of Horror from October 16th through the 19th.
The Philadelphia Film Festival also starts on October 16th and runs through the 26th.
The annual Barnes Art Ball is this Friday, October 17th.
The Philadelphia Orchestra's Children's Halloween Spectacular at the Kimmel Center is on October 18th at 11:30 a.m.
Henry yeah. Rousseau's A Painter's Secrets opens at the Barnes on October 19th and runs through February 22nd.
Friend of the pod, Dominique Sammarco, is hosting a plein air landscape workshop on October 25th from 3 to 6. For a very accessible $28, all direction and supplies are included. In Philadelphia Ballet, we see your gala and raise you the Ballet X's 20th anniversary gala on October 28th.
But you don't have to go to the gala to enjoy Ballet X 20th anniversary retrospective, running from October 29th through November 9th. There is A program and B program, so go to one or both. Young Friends of the Philadelphia Ballet Brunch at the Bar is November 9th from 11 to 1. Tickets are on sale now.
False Dawn and Memory Loss at the Prince Center is on exhibition through November 22nd. And something to get on your radar for later this fall, tickets for the traveling exhibition, Dreamworld, Surrealism at 100 are available. The exhibit does not open until November 8th, but it will run until February 16th. And the PMA is the only United States venue getting a stop.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.